its current state on 90.5 WKAR, Buckminster Fuller has been called the grandfather of the modern green movement. He's best known for his geodesic dome, the self-supporting soccer ball-like structure. Less well known is his work on a car called the Dymaxion. It was a three-wheeled vehicle that resembled a teardrop and could carry a dozen people. Filmmaker Noel Murphy has made a documentary called The Last Dymaxion, Buckminster Fuller's Dream Restored. He's on the MSU campus for a screening of the movie tonight at the MSU Library. Noel Murphy, welcome to Current State.
Hi, thank you.
If you know one thing about Buckminster Fuller, it's that he created the geodesic dome, this building that looks like half a soccer ball. Sustainability was one of his goals. It's less well known that he designed and built a, quote, green, unquote, car in 1933. What were the unique qualities of the Dymaxion?
Well, the Dymaxion car, remember that commercial where the guy said, hey, dude, where's my flying car? Right?
Yeah.
As though he had been promised a flying car. Well, who promised us a flying car? And it turns out it was Richard Buckminster Fuller, inventor, designer, and self-proclaimed comprehensively realizable, industrially feasible, anticipatory design scientist.
Good luck.
And where's Victor
that.
Borg when you need him to put a punctuation mark at the end of that sentence?
The Dymaxion could fly?
Well, the Dymaxion was proposed as the first flying car, and it's not so silly at this point when we take a look at what anticipatory design really is. Anticipatory designers have to gauge the future. They're not entrepreneurs in the same way as a financial risk taker. In fact, anticipatory designers are really excellent at losing money for entrepreneurs, and one of the reasons why is they're designing for materials that don't exist yet. Case in point, the Dymaxion car was supposed to be the first flying car. Well, how is that going to happen? It was going to happen with a jet stilt system. What's a jet stilt? Well, you have two jet engines that are pointing downward at the ground, allowing this thing to fly. Well, that's not so silly today when we consider that VERTOL, vertical takeoff and landing, are what aircraft are the aircraft of choice for the United States Navy on aircraft carriers. Hmm. So he saw way into the future. And in many areas, housing. He saw it in education. He saw into the future in the area of food, shelter, redistribution of world resources, but also he was the first one to ever really map those resources.
How did the Dymaxion move on the ground, though? I mean,
it was a land taxi vehicle, so it had three wheels steered in the back. The film isn't really about the car, even though there is a focus on it. It's what a lot of people know Bucky Fuller from the car. But in order to understand the car, you have to understand what his generalized principles were, the principles that allowed a geodesic dome to work, the principles that allow synergy, which is a phrase he coined and made famous. Mm. But synergy is a end result unpredictable by the sum total of the parts, by the individual parts, I mean. So these are all physics principles, architectural principles, that he applied to the car. But in 1927, he put out a manifesto. 1927, he got extremely despondent over the loss of his four-year-old daughter to spinal meningitis and polio. And he drank so much that he became despondent and wanted to commit suicide. And he was going to jump off the cliff in Chicago at Lake Michigan. And he had a moment of clarity. And the moment of clarity was that he had never done his own thinking, that he didn't know what he really could do with an attitude of service toward humanity, and that was the one big unanswered question for him, and he couldn't kill himself until he'd answered that question, and he never answered the question.
Well, that seed must have been planted in him at some point, even though it was, as you say, obliterated by this personal, this family tragedy. Can you tell us about that? His upbringing extraordinary?
His upbringing was extraordinary. He was blind until the age of 5 years old. Now, I just did aerial photography over the island that he grew up on, and I just visited his hometown of Milton, Massachusetts. So I went up to Bear Island, Maine. I went to Milton. I've talked to a number of people that knew him. I've interviewed all of his business partners and friends, his daughter, some of his family. And when he was 5 years old, he got his first pair of glasses. And what he had, he was forced. Now, imagine being a genius who can't see. What kind of developmental, anomaly are you going to have? Mm-hmm. Well, education teaches us that math, science, geography, physics, biology, these things are all separate issues. Well, his mind saw them all as one subject. And all you needed to do is give the man some vision as a young kid and point him toward a future. And he was going to not only imagine a future that would work for 100% of humanity, he would map how to do it, and he would be more brilliant than anybody before him.
Reminded of Da Vinci.
Yeah, well, that's
Leonardo, modern Leonardo.
McClellan called Bucky Fuller the Leonardo da Vinci of our times.
Yeah. Now, were Dymaxions built? And if so, how
many? No, the Dymaxion number one rolled over, and the driver was killed. And, you know, not that this is really important, but it was a man named Francis Turner. And he's always being reported as a race car driver, but I've been in touch with Francis Turner's family. He was the first pilot to fly the Mason-Dixon line with airmail. So it was always aeronautical or nautical. It was supposed to be a submarine. It was supposed to be an airplane. It was supposed to be a utility vehicle. It was supposed to be all these things. You know, so the Dymaxion car is pretty fascinating. It was never built. There were three prototypes. Amelia Earhart ordered car number four before she disappeared. She forgot to leave a deposit.
Fuller was close friends with Amelia Earhart. We have actually a clip of him talking about their friendship and how much she supported the Dymaxion project. Let's listen.
Amelia Earhart was a very, very great friend of mine. She just really loved my car. She received the gold medal of the National Geographic in Washington, and Mrs. Roosevelt asked her to come down and stay with her at the White House. And Amelia said, Bucky, I'd like to have your car to be my official car so that your car can really be in on the celebration in Washington, which was a darling of her. But she did things like that all the time.
Yeah.
So how many other well-known influential people was he in contact with?
Well,
he
worked with H.G. Wells, Osamu Noguchi, Albert Einstein, in later years, John Lennon, Indira Gandhi.
Okay. Did he, I can't get past this notion that he was blind until he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And you think of a five-year-old suddenly being able to see, that is extraordinary. Did he ever talk about that?
He did. He talked a lot about it. But going back to the idea that he was a systems designer from the word go, he was a patterns person. So he worked in patterns. He thought in patterns. All of his research and development, the questions he asked were pattern questions, and he could make out images, but it was none of it was distinct, and it didn't match the education he was receiving. So the way his mind was working and what he could see was not like any of the other children.
Why did you want to tell this story? It's a pretty extraordinary story, but talk to us more about why you were.
Well, my mentor as a child, I ended up at Harvard University when I was 10 years old doing, you could call it an internship, at the Divinity School with Dr. Hugh Morgan Hill. I was a pretty unusual 10-year-old. Well, Dr. Hugh Morgan Hill, who's also known as Brother Blue, I encourage you to look up Brother Blue online. But his teacher was Bucky Fuller. And I'll never forget some of the times that Blue and I had plans. And he would say, well, Bucky just sent me a plane ticket, so I got to go. And I really didn't like this Bucky character, that he had the power to send plane tickets and get my man to go off somewhere. Well, I'd come to find out that he was meeting with John Denver. They were meeting with World Hunger. They were doing all of these extraordinary things. It was the world game in full swing. And I was sort of a second-generation bystander to it.
You took 2 years to film this. You visited.
Oh, it's four, my friend. We got to update. We got to update the site.
Okay. How long?
No, it's 4 years now.
Four years now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, we don't have the new number on there. Took longer.
And how many miles have you put in? How many countries have you visited?
Well, England twice. I also played Buckminster Fuller in a one-man show. So I did the show in London, and I did a lecture tour in London, and then did filming there. Norman Foster, for example, who did the New World Trade Center and the Gherkin in London and Beijing Airport and all the – he's a fabulous architect, and I interviewed him there. But I went to Spain, and I've crisscrossed the country by airplane, I think, four times, and now by RV, catching all the interviews that I couldn't catch any other way.
What would you say is Fuller's legacy? Then
trim tab.
Trim tab.
Trim tab. On the trailing end of a large ship is a, of course, you got your rudder, but on the trailing end of that rudder, you've got a smaller rudder. And the ephemeral principle of how that rudder works is we don't use a lot of effort to turn the ship. What we do is we use the energy that's already there. And Bucky used to point out that the ship had already gone by. Now we've got that little trailing edge. And once we apply the minimal amount of energy to that, it creates a low pressure front that swings with force the entire rudder, which swings with force the entire ship. Bucky's legacy was that every human being had the capability to be an integral part of the creation of a world that would work for everyone, i.e. sustainability. And he believed that everybody's unique contribution would have integrity, it would have integrity for them, and he wanted everybody to think of themselves, or he thought of himself as a trim tab. And part of the point of my film is to point out that everybody has the power.
So people are trim tabs.
People are trim tabs. It's a metaphor, my friend.
As well.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what projects do you have beyond? I mean, this is such an extraordinary man. What projects as a filmmaker are you looking at in addition to these? What other projects have you done?
Well, I mean, I've done a number of video pieces. I was in radio and sitting in a chair similar to yours for quite a few years. But, you know, I'm actually working on a project to play Lord Buckley. Lord Buckley in a one-man show, and I'm working with his daughter. And he was really the first rapper. He was a jazz rapper in the 1930s and 40s. And one of the reasons I want to do the project is because I've gotten something I call the Bucky wound. And the Bucky wound is when you get a little too close to Buckminster Fuller, you get a little too close to some of the people, and one of the hangover is the intellectual elitism that, and I'm just saying this to out of love, but I've met a lot of people who are trying to heal, and I'm going to get a little California on here. They're trying to heal from the fact that ultimately they feel stupid, so they've integrated themselves into the hierarchies of academia everywhere. And I think it creates separation. So I just need to do something that kind of cleans me out, and I think Lord Buckley's perfect. And then I'll probably get back. I'm giving lectures. Obviously, I was at the University of Maryland. I'm headed to Minnesota and Colorado and California, Stanford. You know, but boy, I can't take myself too seriously during all this. And believe me, I have along the way. You know, it happens when you get around Bucky.
Noel Murphy is a filmmaker whose documentary is called The Last Dymaxian, Buckminster Fuller's Dream Restored. He's here in East Lansing for a screening of the movie tonight.
I'm going to give a talk, and the screening is going to be pieces of the film, because, of course, we're still editing.
Okay.
But it's going to be great, and I really encourage everybody to come.
Tonight at the MSU Library, Noel Murphy, continued success. Thank you.
5:30. Yeah, thank you so much.